Welcome to Route 31 Credit Union's business podcast, The Extra Mile. My name is Nick Green, and I am the host. And today I'm joined by Phil Basaglia. Basaglia? Did I say that
Basaglia.
Right? Basaglia.
Yeah.
And he is from P2 Institutes, and looking forward to sitting with you for a long time. So here we are.
Yeah.
We got it locked in. So Phil, tell us about you. Where are you from? What's your background?
Yeah.
Et cetera.
So my background is banking. I graduated from Cornerstone University 25 years ago, and I'm still the same age, but somehow time has gone by. I don't know how that works, but I still feel like I'm 22.
I thought I was the only one that felt that way.
Yeah, I don't know. If my kids age, but not me, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
I spent about 15 of those 25 years in banking, and I've spent the other 10 years working in the ministry as a pastor.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting path. Career path. Not one that I was planning on, but here I am.
Banking the pastor. So I've had the privilege to hear you speak at both capacities. In the Phil was someone I worked with and great motivational speaker, and now I attend the church. So you do a great job.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I like it. You're captivating in what you do. So what influenced you to start to get into this P2 Institute?
Yeah, well, the P2 Institute stands for People Potential.
Okay.
And I feel like life is best lived when you are building up and encouraging and pouring into other people. I feel like people have a lot of potential to offer, and we are all better as individuals, corporations, and a community when people are living to their full potential. So I just love helping people unlock that for themselves and live out that really motivated and excited life. So I want to go off script with you this morning.
All right, let's.
You ready?
Let's do it. Throw this away.
Throw the script away. because this is, I think the best way that we can add value this morning to people is if we do a live coaching session.
All right.
You up for a live coaching session?
I probably need it. So yes, I'm up for it.
Okay. Okay. Because, I mean, we can talk about the work I do, but the reality is if you experience it live and you get to hear it, then that's probably what's best anyway. So.
Yeah.
So I use a coaching method that I call the alphabet coaching method. And I made it up, but it's really super simple. It's not rocket science. We're going to go through some ABCs.
Always be closing.
Always. Sure. ABC means a lot of things to a lot of people.
That's my sales background speaking.
I know. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the A stands for articulate and aim. All right. Okay. So what we're asking is the question, and what the question I want to ask you is, what either in your personal life would you like to see as an area of growth, or professionally would you like to accomplish? Is there a goal or an area of growth that you would like to see? And let's go short term. Let's go within the next 7 to 30 days. Let's do a short term coaching.
A goal, an aim that I have?
Is a goal, yep. So a personal thing, maybe an area you want to grow in, or maybe on the business side it might be, you're not really in sales. You're really more in just offering solutions.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a professional goal that you're looking to hit or a change you're trying to make.
Yeah. So personally, I would say I'd really like to get better at public speaking.
Okay.
So that's something I've been trying to. So kind of ironic. But something I've been trying to work on is speaking in large groups of people. I'm okay at it. I think I could be better.
Yeah.
Professionally.
Let's just do that one.
Okay.
Let's do one. Okay. Right. Why does that goal matter to you?
You know, I think I have a unique capability to connect with people really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get in front of a crowd, I forget that I can do that. And I think everybody's judging me and staring at me. And
well, they are.
I've tried they are.
They are doing those
that
things.
That sits deep in my, it resonates in my soul and my cortexes that be, and just like really, I tried the whole scanning over the room and just picking a couple people thing, and I can get through something. I sound okay, but just to be more natural in my personality with it.
Okay. Yeah. And how would it benefit you?
I think it would, as I get in front of, so in my professional life, as I start getting in front of more people and bigger organizations where I see this department going, it would help me captivate a boardroom if I had to be in that situation a little quicker.
Yeah, sure.
So,
okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how motivated are you to become a better public speaker?
Scale of 1 to 10.
Yep.
let me backtrack for a hot second. So I just mixed corporate with personal. We're supposed to stick to personal. So that's but also in coaching, I coach little kids. Okay. And I found really quickly that what I say is quite literal in their interpretation. So being able to articulate to small kids would also benefit me quite a bit with coaching.
Okay.
So it would have a direct crossover, because if I can articulate to children, most adults are probably going to understand what I'm going to say too. So the motivation, I'd say I'm like a 7, 8.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
That's good.
I have a lot on my plate right now, so... just add another thing to it. Why not?
Well, this is the thing about goals, right? So we do what we prioritize.
Yep.
Right. So I ask you what level of priority you want to give this. So if you say it's a 7 out of 10, that helps me put it into priority for you. Should help you put it into priority for the other things that you've got going on. Mm-hmm. Everybody fills the 24 hours that they have in a day.
Yeah.
So everybody is technically busy.
Yeah.
You can compare yourself to other people, but you're living your life.
Right.
So you are as busy as you feel, and so is everyone else. So 7 out of 10. Okay, so we've articulated an aim. We want to become a better public speaker. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about some barriers to accomplishing that. What's in the way of you becoming a better public speaker?
Right now, probably just confidence, personal confidence.
Do you have opportunities to practice?
Yeah.
Okay.
I coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then talking to business. Usually when I talk to business owners or things of that nature, it's one-on-one. But I have been invited to go into some local organizations and speak to a group of people. And admittedly, I've been kind of brushing that off because I don't feel like I'm quite ready yet.
Okay.
So, but I think I probably just need to tuck in and just, even though the fear is there, just do it scared.
So let's talk about this. You have some opportunities to go into businesses, but you're not sure you're quite ready. What would ready be to you?
I don't have that defined.
Okay. So you don't know when you're going to be ready.
Yeah.
So you're just not sure when you're going to go in and do these things.
Right.
So let me ask you this. What would happen if you went in, and what is the worst possible thing that could happen if you went into this business and you did your public speaking?
I learn
what
not to do.
Okay.
Kind of did that last Tuesday.
You know, we learn through our failures.
Yeah. I learned what not to do last Tuesday. I don't think it was my delivery. It was the, and it probably was part of my delivery, but there was another factor of how I set the room up to engage with one another.
Okay.
Kind of got out of hand.
Okay. So the barrier here is confidence.
Yep.
And so you're saying I have opportunity. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking the opportunity because I'm not confident. But you just told me that the worst thing that could happen if you did it is that you would learn.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's logical, Nick.
Okay. So which Nick do I need to talk to? The logical one or the emotional one?
We're talking to both.
We're talking to both. Okay, the logical one. All right. Yeah. All right. So the worst thing that could happen is you would learn from the experience.
Yeah.
Is it possible that you would succeed?
Yeah.
Okay, so the worst thing that could happen is you could learn, and the best thing that could happen is it would be a success.
Those both sound like successes.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So if this barrier is mental, but you've recognized that the worst outcome isn't even that bad.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to the second B in this ABC, and that is, what behaviors do you need to adopt or change in order to become a better public speaker?
Actually have some defined goals on what that looks like for me.
Okay.
As successful or getting better at public speaking. And then I think I need to actually just do it.
Okay.
Like practice.
Yeah.
In front of a mirror or in front of my kids, who are always very critical. Kids are very honest. My personal ones and the ones I coach.
Okay.
And just actionable things.
Keep in mind that if you talk in front of your kids, they're a particular type of audience.
Yeah.
Right? So a 14-year-old boy is going to give you feedback that a 14-year-old boy would give. And then if your context is more corporate, then it's not that their feedback's invaluable. It's a different context.
Mm-hmm.
One of the barriers that we sometimes have to uncover is maybe an education piece.
Yeah.
Right. So like when we look at goals, some of the common barriers, particularly in the workplace, are education, time, and money, like budget.
Yeah.
And so if education is a piece of this, right, because you have the opportunity,
yeah,
you know the outcome's not going to be bad no matter what you do,
right?
Right? Do you feel like there are technical skills on speaking that you could learn that would help you?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't know those, right, so education is an identified barrier,
mm-hmm.
What are some behaviors that you could take on to help better understand techniques in public speaking?
Research it. Learn about it. YouTube videos.
YouTube videos. Anything you want to do.
Yeah.
Just YouTube it.
Yeah. Yeah. ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of resources.
Watch people that I enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I like that one a lot.
Yeah. There's a couple people I like listening to. So.
Yeah. So when you listen to a speaker, this is just a thing for me. I love the content, but I'm always looking for delivery.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to understand how they connect with the crowd and,
yeah.
and how they do those specific things. Okay. So let's move on. So we got behaviors. You're going to work a little bit on some education.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use another B word that I think you need to have, which is bravery.
Mm-hmm.
Because the opportunity is there.
Yeah.
And the outcome can't be bad.
Right.
So we're going to educate ourselves and we're going to be brave. When we move on to the C, this is where we're going to take some concrete steps. What are some concrete steps? And what I mean by that is, if you say, I need to get a little bit of education and I need to be brave, I want you to tell me what specific steps in a specific time frame that you can commit to. Concrete commitment. Concrete can't be moved.
Yeah.
You're saying that...
It can be broken up, though, and then moved.
Okay, so there's a lot of work involved.
Yes.
You're so literal. I see the literal side of you.
Yeah, rebuilding the concrete is difficult.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
I write this down. Education, all right.
Case. This is good. Notes
and bravery.
Good. Education and bravery. So we're...
Now we have concrete steps.
Yep. Concrete commitments. What are you going to do? They're time-based and they're specific. Kind of like a SMART goal, but not quite the same.
Yeah. I mean, watch some of the people I enjoy and take notes on not the content, but the delivery, like you mentioned.
Okay. So that's the activity. When are you going to do it?
I need to do that at least 2 hours a week.
2 hours a week. What time of day?
At night.
Okay.
So I can focus. Because I don't have... Yeah, that's not going to happen during the day. At night. For the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So how long do you think the typical content is? 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going to do 2 hours a week, you're going to say, let's say half an hour because it's easier math, right? We've got, what, four... Four mm-hmm. sessions of watching someone communicate in the evening. Okay. So articulate the goal as clearly as you can.
Yeah.
Okay. Go for it. The action. What's the concrete commitment?
I'm going to watch some motivational speakers and or speakers that I like and take notes on the delivery for 2 hours a week. So four videos.
30 minutes a night.
30 minutes at night.
Four nights, right?
Four nights.
So that gets us to the 4 hours.
Yeah.
Could you be specific as to the nights of the week? Could you get that specific?
Oof.
Because you understand the level of commitment you're making. If you say to me, Phil, I'm going to watch one 30-minute video on a speaker and take notes on Tuesday night at 6:30, now we're getting specific.
Yeah.
Right? Now, on Tuesday night at 6:30, you already have a plan. But if you say, I'm going to watch four videos this week in the evening, you start to see the vagueness.
Yeah.
See, the trick here is nobody changes an ambiguity. Right? So, like, we like to say to ourselves, I want to be a better... You're married? You say, I want to be a better husband. Okay? And I say, wow, that's awesome, Nick. Let's have lunch next week and you can tell me how you did. And then at lunch next week, I say to you, how did you do this week at being a better husband? And you're like, I don't know, I guess I did okay. And I have no way to judge whether you improved because I don't know what you were going to try to prove in. You have no way to judge whether you improved because you didn't get specific about your goal. Ambiguity leads to nothing changing.
Yeah.
It's in the specificity that we're going to take real action and we're going to see real change. So if you're going to watch 30 minutes a video four different nights a week, if you can give me the night of the week and the time, we're getting real granular here in such a way that it will help you. Do you think you could do that? Or does your schedule just not allow for that kind of specificity?
I guess Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
Would be the times I'd have to do that, and it'd have to be like 10 p.m.
Okay. All right.
Being back in school now, I'm up till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning getting my homework done.
Oh.
So.
Okay. So can you articulate the concrete commitment you're making to improve as a speaker?
Thursday through Sunday at 10 p.m., I'm going to watch at least 30 minutes of a video and take notes.
For the next
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
That feels better. My brain just like kind of like cleared up a little bit on that.
Do you see why it matters? You see why specificity matters? Right? Yeah. Because everybody wants to be better at something or lots of things, to be honest. And we all have 24 hours in our day. But if we're not specific about the things that we're going to do and why we're doing them, that's part of the reason I ask you how important it is to you. There's something that we do in coaching, and we ask, how big is your why?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how important is this to you? Because if you really don't care, the truth is you won't do it.
Yeah.
Right? You'll find a reason to not do it. But as you sit here and you articulate to me this unbelievably specific goal, which is what we were going for, okay?
Right.
Now, when I see you next, and I see you pretty much every week.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because of the church stuff. Quite a bit. Right? Yeah. And we talk on the phone and whatever. We're working together on things.
Yeah.
Now I can help you. Because as your coach, I can now say, did you watch on Thursday night? Did you watch on Friday night? Did you watch on Saturday? Right. And so now there's some accountability that comes from that specificity. Okay, so let's talk about the behavior side of this. Is there, that was the education side, the brave side. Is there a way to get a concrete commitment on the brave side? Is there something specific that you could do that would stretch your bravery?
I could go to the Lakes Mall and just start speaking in the middle of the food court. There's not many people there, but there would.
Oh my.
It would be a public speaking event for sure.
Oh, that's great.
I'd have to be careful on the topic.
Yeah, it's a pretty broad audience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to get their attention. You might find yourself with some law enforcement around you.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay away from the kids' play area.
Yeah, so. That's right. Yeah. That's not the spot you want to start your orations.
Yeah. That's interesting. Stretch my bravery.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Let me ask you something. Is there a time in your life, a different thing that you can think of, that you were worried about, that you had either were required to do, say it was a work thing or something like that, or you just chose to take the risk? Is there something else you can think of where you had that situation?
Yeah, I mean, just like last Tuesday, I didn't really want to do that.
Okay.
And then I think the outcome portrayed the mental block that I didn't really want to be there anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, it was a burning train on a train track. So,
let me ask the question this way: are you capable of doing brave things?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you're capable of doing brave things.
Yeah.
I know that about you, but I need you to say it.
Yeah, I am capable of doing brave things.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Okay, so this really comes down to the belief, and the understanding that the worst possible outcome is that you learn,
mm-hmm.
and you grow. There's a saying, nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yep.
So you want to be a better public speaker. You don't get there without taking risk. Mm-hmm. This is life, right?
Yeah.
And so if we're trying to have a specific goal around being brave, I don't think it has to be in relation to public speaking.
Right.
I think you need to just practice bravery, which I think you do every day.
Yeah.
But maybe you're taking very comfortable risks.
Yeah.
Right, where the outcome, if it was poor, doesn't really affect you.
Yeah.
Right, what are some risks that would help you stretch that, grow that muscle in general, in being brave? Can you think of something in the next 30 days that would be a real step of bravery for you that you could commit to do today?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to think.
We'll let you come back to that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk offline about that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot that... I have ideas.
Okay.
I just don't know how those would come in.
All right, that's fine. Let's move on to the last part of the C here. The last part of this ABC, right? We have these concrete commitments. It's the last part of this is conversation and course correction. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's your ABCs. You're articulating a aim. You're identifying barriers and behaviors. You're doing concrete commitments, and then you have conversation and course correction. Goals to change and grow work best in the context of community. That's why a coach helps. That's why when I work with people, they're able to accomplish things and do things that they couldn't otherwise do, because now they have community, now they have accountability, now they have encouragement, now they have assistance, right, in that. So if I were you, I would talk to your wife, talk to a friend. Obviously, we're doing this live, so we can talk again offline about some of these things that I want to see you grow in as well. Mm-hmm. But things aren't going to always go as planned. We know that. That's life.
Yeah.
And so ongoing conversations, I would say at least weekly, and course corrections are necessary. Let me give you an example. Let's say we connect next week, talk on the phone, and I'm like, hey, how did your 30 minutes a night, Thursday through Sunday, go? You say, well, I got 2 out of 4. My question as your coach is going to be, what stopped you from getting 4 out of 4? What are the things that are necessary for course correction for you to accomplish your goal? Maybe you come back and you say, I got 4 out of 4 and I didn't learn very much.
Yeah.
I didn't really get a lot out of this. Now we have an opportunity for a different kind of course correction. Because if we want to continue to work on the education, we're going to say, well, what are some other avenues? Are there books on public speaking? Mm-hmm. I happen to do public speaking every weekend. Maybe you and I could talk about some things, about some methods that are important to use and understand, some techniques, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So that last C is what allows you to keep the goal fresh, right? And to, if you hit the goal in the first week and it works, what if we stretch it?
Right.
What if now we're going to do 5 nights a week? Or instead of 30 minutes, we're going to do 45 minutes, or we're going to do an hour. This is what coaching looks like. This is, as you can see, why coaching is so helpful.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, roughly, the coaching industry was one where if you were a coach, you had to convince people that it was valuable. You go knock on a door and you had to say, can I coach you? And they would go, that seems expensive. And you'd go, it is,
yeah,
but it's worth it. And they would have to be convinced that it was worthwhile. Now, it's really interesting how the industry has shifted. More and more people are seeking out coaching because of the value that's provided in doing that, that kind of one-on-one goal setting and growth and improvement like that. And this is what I love. This is why I started the P2 Institute, because I love the potential in people. And nothing makes me happier than watching someone succeed.
Yeah.
Like literally my greatest joy in life is watching Nick Green be a better version of Nick Green.
Yeah.
Because, man, you're a star, and you can shine.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of potential, but we get in our own way.
Yeah.
We get in our own head, we make excuses, and that's why coaches are awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome. I think back to my high school days, and I had this teacher who believed in me. And I wasn't the best student, but there was this one teacher that saw potential in me, and all really she had to do was say, I think you can be amazing. And then I wanted so hard to be amazing. It was like all I needed was a little bit of belief.
Yeah.
That comes there from coaching too.
Yeah.
So the other side of the P2 Institute that I spend a lot of time on is corporate culture. So, I mean, I do keynote speeches and that kind of thing. But when I'm going into an organization, work with corporate culture quite a bit. And that's a fun one.
Yeah.
Because culture happens whether you intend it to or not.
Yeah.
And most cultures in organizations are actually the result of ignoring things.
Yeah.
Most cultures are not proactively creative. They're what I would say are almost accidentally creative. Look at it this way. You have kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Do your kids get a lot of attention, meaning a lot of your time and focus, when they're screwing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're screwing up, right?
Right.
Okay. That same kind of concept is often how the workplace goes. So if you do a good job, probably nobody says a word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because a good job is expected. But when you screw up, you get a lot of attention. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. We didn't accomplish this goal. We didn't accomplish that thing. And so often in a corporate culture, they're created through negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
We're correcting the behaviors we don't like, the goals we didn't hit. We're addressing those things. Instead of on a day in and day out basis, looking at the people around us and saying, you're doing a lot of things right. Let me acknowledge the things you're doing right. I see you come in early. You got a smile on your face. You put forward a good effort. The truth is, we work on behaviors, not outcomes. We focus on the behaviors. The outcomes will take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. But in a corporate context, what are we looking at? Bottom line, we're looking at outcomes. We're constantly looking at outcomes.
Right. KPIs run the culture.
You got it. KPIs run the culture.
Yeah.
And so we're forced into this context where we're performance-driven instead of recognizing positive behaviors. And a massive shift that a lot of organizations need to make is to start rewarding the day in and day out positive things. Catch someone doing it right.
Yeah.
Instead of catching them doing it wrong. And it's a learned behavior because we grow up in this environment. My parenting—
From school age.
Yeah. In our homes, in our school age, we get attention when we do things wrong. We get some attention when we do things right, but only when you're a superstar, right? Only when you really do an amazing job.
Right.
I mean, how many guys on a football team?
Right now? Like on the field playing?
Yeah, sure, let's do that.
Oh, yeah, on the field playing, 22.
Okay, 22.
Yeah. I have 27. We have 27 on the team this year, which is a lot.
Okay, so 22 guys on the field playing.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, there'll be one or two stars. But right. A lot of guys did a lot of things right, and it's never acknowledged.
That's the joy of being a lineman. you're in the pits.
You get no credit
ever.
No
credit.
Right.
That hole that was the size of the bus, the school bus that brought you to the game. It doesn't matter. It's the guy that ran the 60-yard touchdown.
Right.
So.
Right. It's that standout performance that gets acknowledged when there's a lot of good that was done by a lot of people to accomplish ultimately the goal of winning as a team, but there's only one superstar, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are doing really good. And when we encourage and acknowledge good in other people, guess what we get more of? Good from other people. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's contagious.
It is contagious. Yeah. And they're motivated because they recognize that their efforts are seen. Mm-hmm. And now they want to please. And now they want to do more. And all of a sudden, the corporate culture goes from one of like, if I don't perform, I'm going to get squashed, to all of my efforts are recognized and I'm willing to take risks and I'm willing to do more because I was told, attaboy. It's a very deliberate choice to make as mm-hmm. management,
mm-hmm.
but it can change a culture almost overnight.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of joy doing that.
Culture is interesting in corporations or small businesses even. I've found in my years of experience in the corporate world that the more they talk about it, the worse the culture probably is. If I see culture anything in like a job application or a job posting, I won't even look at it. Not that I'm looking for a job, but
no, but I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. If I see anything, we love our culture, we have the best culture, this, move on. There's a strong possibility that that's not there, because I think, and I may be wrong, but like the empathy piece is missing a lot.
Mm.
And I think you're hitting on that a little bit inadvertently with leadership. I think a lot of leaders, and this is not my quote, but I'm going to quote it anyway, but you need to sit down and ask, what's it like to be on the other side of me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you think you're great, and not everybody's going to think you're great, but are there things that are mm-hmm. sticking out to your team that you kind of just overlook because that's who you are? Mm. And that might be a barrier for someone that may be a top performer, but they're scared to approach you because of that one piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I think empathy is a huge part that's missing in the corporate world. And it was never meant to be in the corporate world, I don't think. I think, and then empathy is not really something you can kind of, you can practice it. I struggle to say that you can learn it. I'm not sure how you feel about that. I'm asking a question.
Yeah. I'll try to answer it.
Yeah.
I think good leaders take the time to understand each individual person's perspective, background, and day in and day out, life yeah. burdens, right?
Yeah. Is it a bad day or is it a bad moment or is something yeah. difficult at home?
Well, okay, so here's this thing. Let's say we're going to have a meeting and mm-hmm. we got to get to some practical stuff. If I start the meeting by asking you, like, how you feeling today? You know, what's going on? What's going on in your head? And I'm not talking about small talk. I'm trying to gauge as a leader whether or not you're ready to get down to business or there's a level of emotion
right.
that needs to be addressed first. And a good boss doesn't skip over that first part of it because you're not going to be in a place where you can listen to not even critique, just instruction if you're struggling with something that's going on. And so mm-hmm. we have to be empathetic to people.
Yeah.
And it comes from two things, asking good questions and giving time and space. We're in such a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
We walk in and we sit something on someone's desk and there's no context. It's just a demand. And then we walk out. I mean, just an example, but
yeah.
we're not taking the time and space to sit and listen and understand. And if I connect with you first and you're like, yeah, it's not been a great day, you know, this happened or that happened or whatever, and we talk about it a little bit, and then I ask you, can I give you, you know, do I have permission from you
right.
to work on this, to go to this different place? Once you've given me permission, you can make a mental switch.
Right.
Now we're going to go over to some technical stuff, some work-related things. But you feel valued and seen and understood and mm. appreciated. And now whatever the work stuff is, it can be received.
Right.
And then we can go with it.
Because there's space for it now.
I'm so with you on the empathy thing.
Yeah.
And taking the time to slow down and understand. People are the greatest asset the company has.
Right.
And culture is not, it's just built, every decision, every conversation is building culture, and every person is part of culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to work with your people. That's how culture changes. That's how culture grows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One person could be toxic and creating a bad culture. If you talk with your people, you can find that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love to say most organizations are one hard decision away from a breakthrough. Usually that decision is a person.
On both sides, like letting them go or bringing someone new in?
Yeah, either or.
Yeah.
Yeah. But oftentimes there's someone in the organization who's either in the wrong role or really just needs to be moved on.
Yeah.
Right? There's a difference between whether or not they can do it and whether or not they're willing to do it. If they can do it, then give them more training, give them more coaching. If they're unwilling to do it, that's an attitude issue.
Right.
An attitude's a choice.
Yeah.
If they're choosing to have a bad attitude, then they're choosing to leave. That's my opinion.
Right. Silent quitting.
Because you get to choose. So, yeah, most organizations are one hard decision away from a breakthrough. Yeah. Usually it's people related. Sometimes it can be like a product line. They're hanging on too long to a product line that's taking them down.
Yeah.
They haven't changed locations or methods.
Yeah.
So there can be technical things inside that can be adjusted that can create breakthroughs. It's often people related.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be leadership too. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Because leaders hear this and they're like, oh, it's Joe in the mailroom.
Yeah. Mm,
it could be Joe the CEO.
Yeah, right.
it could be the very highest end yeah. of this whole
and
thing.
And that goes back to, you know, what I said earlier. What you got to ask, what's it like to sit on the other side of you? Because, yeah, a lot of leaders are... I think managers like move into management and they get promoted because they are really good at what they do, but then they just end up micromanaging because they are technically better than that person at their job, but they don't know how to lead. That's not a natural thing that yeah. comes. Leadership is, you can learn leadership styles,
yeah.
and techniques or practice it, but you kind of have to have a little bit of natural leadership in you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's one of the things I help
Gervais
with.
Gervais principle. You ever read that?
What is it?
The Gervais principle, mm-hmm. Ricky Gervais. You should read it.
Okay.
It kind of unwinds everything we just talked about, but it's interesting perspective on corporate America. So
I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. I won't get into it now, but
okay.
Almost like not appropriate for podcasts, but it's crazy. When you read it, you're like, holy cow, that is literally corporate America.
Mm.
So
yeah, we got work to do. That's for sure.
Yeah, there is.
That's why I started the P2 Institute.
I love it. This was fun. So flip it back on you. Do you use the ABC in prepping for all your stuff?
I try to coach myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I shared this with you a year ago. I turned 46 and I decided I was going to live 1 year as intentionally as possible. And so I said every minute of every day, I want to be super intentional with growing as a person. So my goal for the year was intentionality, but it was personal growth. And so I started to identify barriers to that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the action.
Yeah.
Intentional growth. The barriers were things that waste my time.
Yeah.
So I deleted all my apps off my phone. There was no social media.
Mm-hmm.
I like video games. I like crosswords. I like puzzle games. Yeah. All of it gone. I was like addicted. I didn't realize that. Like all of a sudden, it was like, what am I going to do with myself? And so I started reading. I wanted to grow. And I started going to conferences to learn about leadership,
mm-hmm.
more about leadership. I read 32 books last year. And I'm a different person than I was a year ago.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun living intentionally. And not wasting time on stuff that was of no value to me, really, that I'm doing it again this year. But I'm choosing a different focus. Yeah. And again, so I'm going to identify barriers, and then I'm going to make commitments, and then I'm going to watch how those commitments help me grow. It's actually a lot of fun.
I like that.
Yeah. 1 year.
Live intentionally.
You got it. For me, it was personal growth. But for someone, it could be weight loss. It could be professional growth.
Yeah.
It could be, reconciling a relationship. There's a lot of things that people are dealing with that could be the focus of their goal for the year.
Deleting social media, that'd be a tough one.
Man, it was amazing.
I just feel like I'm in my phone so much.
Yeah.
Even at other levels, work emails and texts and, it's a lot. Maybe that's why I don't have I could add more time to my learning.
Okay.
My videos.
See, now we're getting to a barrier.
If I cut some of that out.
We're getting to a barrier.
Yeah. Your brain likes those dopamine hits, though.
It does. You find new ones. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Learning became a dopamine hit for me.
Right.
I would finish a book.
New pathways.
And sometimes 10 minutes later, I'd be reading a new one. That was how badly I wanted to learn. That's how much fun I had learning and growing.
What you're not much of a people pleaser. I'm a yes man. I like to help people. That's just who I am.
I love that about you.
I love it about me too, and most people do, but it really takes up a lot of my time. Like, I don't have time to go do the things that I say yes to, but I do them anyway. Because I get a dopamine hit from helping someone, because I know what it's like to not have someone there. So that's important to me. So that would be hard for me. That would be my biggest thing, my biggest barrier. With living with intention would be to stop saying yes.
Let me give you a reason you need to do it. Because the best version of you is better able to help other people. And if you don't grow and you don't prioritize yourself, then you can't help other people as well as you would like to.
Right.
Right. So you're doing all of that. And I'm not going to pick on your level of effort, but at a C level.
Right.
But a better version of you can give B-level help, and then A-level help. That's why I wanted to grow.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to be able to help people more because I had grown personally myself. That's why I think you should prioritize it. Because then you can say yes, and you can give them A-level help.
Right.
And maybe you already are. I don't...
Yeah. I mean, it's...
You say yes. If you say yes to
labor
much,
tasks,
you just grow work.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, you want to help me move? Hey, Nick, you want to help me renovate this house? Hey, Nick, you want me to do this? Yeah.
You know this. Every yes is 1,000 no's, right? Because when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to all of the other things.
Yeah, saying no to time with my kids.
Yep, that could be in that spot. Yeah,
time and money. This stuff.
Yeah.
ABCs.
Time on the ABCs of growth.
Yeah. I'll have to think on that one. That's a big commitment.
Yeah.
But maybe I can start small.
Yeah.
1 month of intentionality.
Start there. 30 start. Days.
PTU Institute's already working.
PTU Institute's already working.
I'm already thinking ABCs See? On other tasks in my life.
So, I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's easy
this
to
is good
use.
Stuff. I appreciate you taking the time. And I think a lot of people could benefit from this, even yeah. if they're not in the corporate space. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a life coaching.
Yeah. So, that's the pastor side of me coming out.
Yeah.
yep. I got the executive side and the yeah. pastor side. They yeah. work pretty good right now.
You know, there's a lot of crossover with that, there I'm finding, yeah. and the people that I enjoy watching. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just don't say names for media purposes.
Right.
But I appreciate you doing this. This yeah. is cool. I'm glad we threw the script away. Gave me a lot to think about. I'm sure we'll talk after this. If you want to plug, give your website, anything like that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's more than welcome to in the camera here.
P2Institute.com. And I'm actually working on finishing up a book. So that'll be coming out soon. And it's going to be a lot of fun to have that. There'll be two websites that'll kind of link together. There's philbasalia.com, which is not live yet,
okay.
which really works with the book side of what I'm doing and the public speaking side. And then P2 Institute is more the coaching and the executive coaching and then the corporate training. So
yeah.
It'll all be one place soon. Yeah. And but right now, P2 Institute is where you would go to check that out.
Sweet. Thanks so much, Phil. Yeah. This was a lot of fun, man.
It was. Thanks for
It's been a long time coming.
It has.
So yeah. We got it done.
Appreciate you being vulnerable and willing to be coached live.
Yeah. No, it was fun. It's good to be vulnerable. It's yeah. how you grow.
Absolutely.
All right. All thanks. Right.
Thanks, Nick.